and happiness and all the success I make in Ratzon. The rabbi will be speaking about Emunah and Bitachon as we are gravitating towards Kabbalat HaTorah. Kabbalat HaTorah is not just a historical event that happened 2,000 over years ago. And every holiday that the Jewish people have is either, neither is not a historical event, but we are anciently about the nostalgia that have happened to our forefathers, but rather the Torah is the living experience that every single holiday and every single Shabbat and every single experience for us, we vividly bring it to our imagery, our sensory, and our belief in Emunah that Hashem today gave us Shavuot, not thousands of years ago. Today, as if He gave that neshama that recycled over and over again. So it's the same Matan Torah that was given to our forefathers back then, and it's the same Pesach that we endure, and Chayena v'Chayena, the same holiday, Sukkot, Shavuot. And Be'ezrat Hashem, when we have that in mind, our disposition, our attitude will be much different than what we think, that it has no relation to us. It had relation maybe thousands of years ago to our forefathers, but rather it has a direct impact on our soul and our neshama, that we are enduring Pesach, we are enduring Shavuot and Sukkot and every holiday. And hopefully, through the beautiful words of Harav Mizrahi, we'll be able to gain a different and a higher level of measure of a perspective for Kabbalat HaTorah. And Hashem should bring all of us in unity and holiness and good disposition to Him, to His mitzvot, and glorify Hashem's name very soon. B'biyato Shem Mashiach Tzidkem Rumenu. Amen. Without further ado, Harav Yossi Mizrahi, b'chavod.
Thank you very much, Rabbi Alon. It's a pleasure to be back here every once in a while to see wonderful people here in Great Neck.
Please.
This lecture will be, Be'ezrat Hashem, very interesting. It's you're going to gain some foundation for life. It's going to help you for the rest of your life, whether you're religious, whether you're not. If you just listen to it, it will be online on my website, divineinformation.com, tomorrow night. So you'll be able to review it and to recommend it to others. As you all know, I will make a short introduction and then we'll go right into the topic. As we all know, or you heard, that we, the Jewish people, received the Torah, the Book of God, 3,300 years ago approximately, in Mount Sinai. The difference between us and all the religions and cults that came later on after Judaism was started is that every one of the Gentiles that follow a different religion, such as Islam, Christianity, Krishna, Buddhism, Hinduism, and many other cults and religions, every one of them start with a story of one individual that told the story. Nobody ever saw that he really got a book or God really spoke to him. Nothing whatsoever. It's a matter of faith. You want to believe him? Fine. You don't want to believe him? It's up to you. He cannot supply you one proof that the book was given to him by God. Muhammad said that Angel Gabriel gave him the Quran in a desert, but he was alone. Nobody ever witnessed it. Mary had a dream. God came to me in a dream, she said, and he told me that his son will be holy. And then JC was born. He was a Jew. And one day he died, and maybe 70 to 300 years after, there's different opinions, 70 to 300 years later, 70 to 300 years later, Christianity started. Nobody ever saw his face. Nobody knows how he looks. Nobody even knew if he existed or not. There's no proofs. It's all stories. Billions of people in the world follow religions based on story that somebody made up. How many proofs they ever saw? The answer is zero. What's the difference between the Jews to the rest of the world? That the Jewish people started their religion in a public event. When God came to us after he took us out of Egypt, it was right now, these days, between Pesach and Shavuot, we came out in Passover from Egypt. 7 weeks later, we got the Torah. 7 weeks later, exactly, which is Shavuot. We're very close to it. Another less than 3 weeks, and we're getting the Torah. This is the weeks before Pesach and Shavuot that the Jewish people received the Torah from God in a public event. Now, I brought you over here outside many CDs, one of them called Torah and Science. If you didn't watch it, it's a must watch to every Jew. Every Jew must watch it. If your English is not so perfect, I even have it in Farsi. I made it to you in Farsi, they mute my voice and put a much nicer voice of a Farsi person. You know, used to live in LA, now he's in Yerushalayim, Tzadik. So he made it in Farsi, even for the older people to understand. It's a beautiful movie. It was translated to 9 languages. You don't want to miss it. It's very, very, very interesting. I promise you, you're not going to regret it. It's called Torah and Science. You also have it on my website and also on my app. You have a free app, Divine Information 2.0. You can download it for free and watch it, Torah and Science in Farsi. You have it in English, you have it in Hebrew, you have it in Russian, Spanish, Italian, Czech, soon in Chinese. They translate it to almost every language. Okay, now, let's move on. A part of receiving the Torah is to develop relationship with God. The Jewish people were educated in the Torah. First of all, what's the purpose of life? Everything I say now, it's briefly, because this is the introduction, but I have a whole lecture about each sentence that I'm saying right now. What is the purpose of life? When you ask most of the people in the world, they don't have any idea what's the purpose of life. You ask every Jew you want, go to Tel Aviv, go to every country, go to, you know, Europe, go to, even here in Great Neck, ask the secular Jews, whether it's Faradi, whether they're Ashkenazi, young, old, you know, male, female, ask them, ma'am, sir, can you tell me what's the purpose of life? They have no idea. They say to make business, to be successful, to buy a nice home, to be healthy, to get married and have children. All kinds of things like that. Nobody knows what the purpose of the world. Nobody knows why God put us here. Nobody knows why he put the soul inside the body. No, almost nobody knows what's going to happen when we die. How can you live 70, 80 years in this world without knowing why God put you over here? Can you find a bigger crime than this? That a person would live here 80 or 90 years and in the end of his life, one day he die and he stand in front of God, his soul, and they will ask him, 70, 80 or 90 years, I gave you oxygen, I gave you life, I gave you everything you have, I gave you brain, I gave you a book. It went from father to son all over the world. The Jewish people taught Torah to all the generation. And not 1 minute in your life, you actually fulfilled the purpose why I put you in this world. Do you know how devastated people are going to be when they find out that all their life was all one big lie? That they never ever did 1 minute what God put them there to do. It's like, I tell you what it's like. It's like a lawyer that you hire to protect you in a trial. You have a very big trial, lo aleinu, and your life depends on it. You don't want Chas v'Shalom to spend 30 years in prison. So you put all your life into this trial. So the lawyer is working, preparing for your trial for 6 months from morning to night. And then when you come to meet him one day before the trial, you just found out that he was learning the wrong trial of a different person. He doesn't know anything about your case and the trial is about to begin in a few hours. Imagine the frustration and the devastation that the lawyer and the defendant is going to be. The lawyer is going to say, I'm very sorry, you have a similar name to him, I made a mistake. I look at a different file, different witnesses, I prepare everything for a different trial. So I'm very sorry. It's not me. My case is different. This is the case. I'm very sorry. There's nothing I can do. But the trial is in a few minutes. There's no way to delay it. And what happened to the person? Every second of his life was all one big, huge mistake. Now, I'm sure that none of you want to get to that moment that you stand in front of your Creator and you will find out that your life was all a lie. On the other hand, I'm also sure that you're not going to believe anything I say to you unless if I bring you proofs. If I don't bring you proofs, you're right. Why should you believe me? I can say whatever I want. Millions of people say whatever they want. It doesn't mean that you have to listen. Okay, so we'll start with step number one. You see, the Jewish people, when they got the Torah from Moshe, Moshe Rabbeinu gave us the Torah, and the Torah is speaking about who? About us. The people that received the Torah are the same people that were slaves in Egypt. When Moshe took them out of Egypt, and now he gave them the Torah, they open up the Torah, and they read inside the Torah. What do they read inside the Torah? They read inside the Torah that they were slaves, and God made them many miracles, and they saw a lot of miracles in Egypt, and because of that, now they're receiving the Torah, and they see all the stories in the Torah. If one of the stories in the book did not fit exactly what happened to them in reality, they would raise their hand and say, "Excuse me, Moshe, you're telling us that God gave you this book? You want us to believe in this book? Thank you very much. We've never been in Egypt. We've never been slave. We didn't see blood all over the water. We didn't see billions of frogs. We didn't hear you and God speaking. It says over here that all of us heard you speaking to God. Who are you trying to fool? You trying to tell us that we heard you speaking to God when we never heard you? Can I come and convince all of you here tonight that you heard me speaking to God 5 minutes ago? If you never heard me? How can I convince you? How can I convince you? I'm going to say, ladies and gentlemen, all of you just heard me speaking to God, and He gave me this book, and I am the new king, and I'm the new leader, and I'm the new prophet. All of you have to listen to me. Right away, he would say, "Excuse me, Rabbi, with all due respect, we've been sitting here for an hour eating the delicious food. We didn't see you speaking to God." What would happen as soon as I'm going to say such a thing? Nobody will pay attention to what I say. This is a lie. Let's not waste time on this guy. What is he saying? That we heard him speaking to God? So to come to a group of people, millions of people, and convince them that they heard me speaking to God, you have to be a fool unless if it really happened. Right? Muhammad did not come to the Arabs and say, "All of you heard me speaking to God." You know why? Because none of them heard. So Muhammad had to tell them, "I was alone and the angel gave me the Quran." Like this, nobody knows. You have to believe. You either believe or you don't believe. You don't believe, I chop your head off. One way or the other, I'm going to make you believe. But if I bring you, all of you, to a place and you all hear me speaking to God, I don't have to convince you after that. The Torah say, your eyes saw, you heard God speaking to you from the fire. Not your fathers. You heard. If your grandfather comes to you and say, "You know, when we were in Iran, before we came to Great Neck, one time we were in a place next to Tehran, and God came to all the Persian people, the Tehranis, only the Tehranis, no offense, and He spoke only to us." What would happen right away? You said to your grandfather, "We love you, we respect you, keep your dreams to yourself, okay? We are now in New York, please don't tell us fairy tales." So your grandfather will beg you, "No, son, you don't believe me? Here, ask my uncle, ask my brother, ask this guy, he was with us together. Look, I bring you 100 people that were there." So the more people he will bring, the more you begin to believe him. Maybe something really happened. But if you yourself were there, you need him to bring people to convince you?
No.
You know what happened, right? So far everything is clear?
Yeah.
Add on top of it, that in our Torah you have information that a person was unable to write. Only the creator of the world was able to know such information about all the oceans, about all the galaxies, all the stars, the moon, the renewal of the moon, codes inside the Torah that without computers you cannot discover it. All kinds of things that are written in our Torah, plus hundreds of prophecies, nevuot, that tells you what's going to happen in 1,000 years or in 2,000 years from now. How does a person know what's going to happen? For instance, I'll give you one example. The Torah said to the Jews, today I'm giving you the Torah, I am going to take you to the promised land. I will let you go in. There are 7 nations sitting inside Israel right now. Eretz Canaan. The Perizi, the Yevusi, the Knaani, the Girgashi, the Chivi. All these nations, they have massive army. Don't worry. I'm going to give you the land. I'm going to kick them out of the land. You go into Israel. You will build Beit HaMikdash, the Holy Temple, in a place I will show you. And if you don't listen to me, I will destroy that temple. I will send a nation from far away, not a nation from next to Israel, from far away. Who? Babel, Babylon, from Iraq all the way to Israel. And the Romans, the Italy, from Rome, far away. Not somebody close to Israel, Syria, Jordan, Egypt. No. A nation will come from far away to destroy the temple. A nation that you don't recognize their language. Nation that have no mercy. They don't have mercy on old people. They don't have mercy on children. They will sell you to be slaves all the way to Egypt. And they will ship you to Egypt on boats. And in Egypt, nobody would want to buy you because there will be so many slaves. The price of the slave will be cheaper than the meal of a horse. This is all written in one place in the Torah. 10 prophecies in one page. The Jews went to Israel. They kicked out the 7 nations. They settled in Israel. They built the Beit HaMikdash. The temple was destroyed. But it wasn't just destroyed from a nation that came from far away. We didn't know their language. After they destroyed that, first they send us to Babylon, to Nebuchadnezzar, to be slaves over there. And then the second time they send us to Egypt on boats, like the Torah say. Why you need to bring from Italy boats to take Jews to Egypt? All you have to do is to make them walk. 3 days, 4 days they walk, they come to Egypt for free. Why you need to bring boats? It wasn't like today, you have boats with engine. It's very difficult to make boats back in the time. They have to bring boats to put the slaves on a boat, to take them all the way to Egypt, and in Egypt they want to sell them to be slaves and nobody wants to buy. There's so many. A price of a meal of the horse, basically bagel with butter. A price of a Jewish slave in Egypt, like buying a bagel in a bagel store. That's what happened, and the Torah said it hundreds of years before it happened. Nobody was able to know it, only God. Even many other events that happen in our days, it's written in the Torah. The more you learn about the Torah, the more you know it's the book of God. But that's not our topic here. That was only the introduction. The topic today is that a Jew has to live with faith and confidence in God. Most of the Jews in the world do not know one very important detail. The Torah told us one very important rule. The more you believe in me, the more I will help you. The more you count on me, the more I will do for you. The less you count on me, the more you're gonna have to help yourself. If you trust me without fear, you don't worry about the future, you know I'm going to feed you and your children, you have nothing to worry about. Everything will be done for you by others. I will arrange for you parnasa. I will find you a person to get married. I will marry your children. I will help them all to find good jobs and houses. I'll do everything for you. The more you're afraid, the more you're gonna have to work. The less you're afraid, the less you have to work. That's very, very fantastic secret. Most of the Jews do not know it. They work one job and another job in Israel, many poor family. The husband and the wife, both of them work two jobs. By the time he gets home, 9, 10, 11 o'clock at night, like slaves. And in the end of the month, they don't save one shekel. 41% of Israelis reported in a survey 3 weeks ago, fresh, in a survey, that by the end of the month, they're unable to save one shekel after working so hard. End of the month, they don't save one shekel. Shekel is about a quarter. They cannot save a quarter. 43% of Israeli report that they do save. How much? How much they save? 388 shekel. $100. Working like slaves, husband and wife, all month. By the end of the month, they save $100. Meaning 84% of Israelis are totally poor. They don't make money, they don't save money, they do not have any future financially. 16% of Israelis are living okay. Meaning maybe they have parnasa. Some of them are very rich, of course. You have rich people everywhere. But 84% are poor. 84% are poor. And they work very hard. On the other hand, it's very interesting because you have more than 100,000 people that learn in yeshiva in Israel. Many of them have 7 children, 9 children, 11 children, 14 children. They live very, very poor, small apartments, all of them. Most of them don't have cars. Some of them don't even have money for the bus. But they sit all month and learn Torah. The government gives them $170 per month. I know it because I have a yeshiva in Yerushalayim, so I know how much the government pay. $170 per month. The kollel, the yeshiva, pays in Israel, in a best case scenario, $500. So $500, the government give $170. How much is that? $670. The rent in the cheapest apartment in Yerushalayim is $1,200. The cheapest. I'm talking building from 200 years ago. From the time of Napoleon almost. No elevator, barely have electric, the water barely comes out of the faucet. You have to see the shower. I took a shower in one of those apartments. You cannot move. You cannot turn around. That's how small and tiny everything. And they build in the same room, they build with wood. Another floor, maybe two kids can sleep over there because no room in the living room. That's how they live. But they don't work. They sit all month and learn Torah, and they live with a super, super miracle. Ask each one of the 100,000 people, can you explain to me how you live? You say, I throw everything on Hashem, and I survive. And that's how they survive. They learn Torah all month. They raise their children, they put them all in yeshivot, some of them become big rabbis eventually. Later, when they grow up, some of them become rich. Many of the rabbis, like Rav Ovadia Yosef, and Rav Mordechai Eliyahu, and many other rabbis, when they were young, they were very poor. You read the stories about their life when they were 20, 18, 16, they didn't have money for the bus. Sometimes 3 days there was no food to eat. There was war, the Jordanians used to shoot in Yerushalayim. They had curfew, the British were there. Life was very, very bad. And they lived in a very poor life. And later they all became multi-millionaires. I'll give you just an example. Rav Ovadia Yosef just passed away 2.5 years ago. Just his apartment, because it's him, automatically they offer double. So instead of 5 or 6 million shekel, right away they offer 12 million shekel. Day one, I'll buy it for double. The more you keep it, the more it's gonna go higher and higher. People will pay even 50 million shekel for it. Just a matter of time. His chair alone was sold for 100,000 shekel, and now somebody offered double on it. He has thousands of things. His cane, his thing, his box, his wallet, everything is worth already fortune. He has 40,000 books in his house. Each book now is more than $10,000. Why? Because he has his handwriting. In 20 years, each book will raise to $50,000. In 200 years from now, each book will raise to more than $1 million. One book of the Chatam Sofer was just sold for $1.4 million. The person that bought it broke it to pages. The same day, he doubled his money. He bought it for $1.4 million. He broke it to pages. He sold all the pages, antique, separately, and he doubled his money, $3 million. Right away, just to show you, a page of the Rambam from 800 years ago, 20-something years ago, it has a lot of holes. One page was sold back then for $1 million. Today it's probably worth 8 or 9 million. One page. So these rabbis, eventually, the older they get, the more they create millions and millions without doing anything. They live simple, the same primitive lifestyle, they don't care about this world, they eat very little. All their life they sit and learn Torah. But what goes around them become an empire. Why? Because this is what God promised. If you give your life to me in poverty, I guarantee you will not leave the world before you will be extra wealthy. Same thing Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva was very poor. He was cleaning horses. He was 40 years old, divorced with a boy. Who would look at somebody like this? Doesn't know Aleph Bet. Now we're in the day of the Omer, Rabbi Akiva. The daughter of the richest guy in Israel, Kalba Savua, liked him because he was shy, he has nice personality. The princess, her father is the billionaire of the Jewish nation. She fell in love with a 40 years old divorced man with a boy washing the horses of her father. Imagine here in Great Neck, the richest Persian Jew, now worth $1 billion, his daughter, she's 18 years old, she goes to Bet Yaakov, very good yeshiva, mwah, classy girl. Her future is secure, her father already bought her houses, everything, nothing to worry about. She comes to her father, Abba, I fell in love with the cleaning guy. Who's cleaning guy? Here, this, whatever his name. What? He's 40 years old, divorced with a boy, he doesn't know alphabet, he didn't go to school. Forget about college, he didn't go to elementary school. 18 years old, princess from yeshiva, daughter of the richest guy in the world. She said, but he has good personality, I don't care. I'll teach him Torah, I'll send him to yeshiva. This is the story of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva lived to 120 years old. By the day he passed away, he was the richest guy in the world, maybe. He became a billionaire from 6 different sources. The daughter of the Roman Caesar, the wife of the Roman Caesar, her husband died. She took all his billions, Romans, you know how much they had. She converted to Judaism and she brought all the money of her husband to Rabbi Akiva. When his father-in-law, Kalba Savua, passed away, he left him everything. Half of it he gave him in his lifetime when he came back from the yeshiva after 24 years. Everything was done for him. He found a treasure coming from the ocean full of gold. 6 different sources, Rabbi Akiva became rich. But all his life, his wife was very poor. She gave up the house. She gave up the palace. But this is the story of the Chachamim. They gave up their life for Hashem, and this is what was the end. Now, let's read some of the verses in the Torah that teaching us that if you have faith in God, your life becomes better. One thing you have to know, there is a rule. Even the doctors will tell you that. I'm sure there's some doctors here, they can confirm what I say. When a person is religious, lo aleinu, God forbid, if he's fighting for his life with a disease in a hospital, when he's religious and when he's not religious, there's a whole different statistic. For instance, few of the religious people that were in a hospital fighting cancer, when they came to the doctors, whether they were secular Jews or where they were goyim, they told them the statistic is you have 14% chance to live, 86% chance to die. But don't worry. By you people, meaning the people with the yarmulke and the beard, by you people, the statistic don't work. Whole different story. We don't have an explanation. You are beating the statistic by far. Why? Because when a person lives with faith, he has confidence that God will save him. It improves the immune system. When a person lives under stress, every week almost is sick. Flu, problem, getting a cold, a strep. Why is it? Because when a person is under stress, there is a rule. It makes the immune system of the body weak. Every little virus or whatever the case is, right away you become sick. But when you live with strength and faith and confidence in God, every second of your life, you're more relaxed. You don't have tension. You don't have panic attacks. You don't have all the attacks that almost every other person has. You don't need Prozac. One person asked me in 2008, Rabbi, real estate collapse. Retail is horrible. There's nothing to put, nothing to invest the money in. Give me an advice. What should I invest my money in? I have some money from the good days. I cannot anymore do real estate. I cannot do anything. What should I do with my money? I say to him, buy stocks of Prozac. He said to me, what's this? I say, anti-depression medicine. Any anti-depression, no problem. He said, why? I say, because in this country, the money is everything. People living with this feeling. You have money, life is good. You don't have money, you are nothing. This is the way the American society raising their children to understand. You're gonna have money, you'll be successful and happy. You're not gonna have money and a nice house and a nice car and maids and a lot of cash and vacation. Your life is nothing. It's better not to live. If you take a person that has hundreds of millions of dollars and you tell him, what do you want? You want to live and we'll take away all your money and we'll leave you with nothing? Or you want to die? Not to see that we take away all your money. Many people would not agree to give their money. You take away the money from me, you might as well kill me. I don't want to live without my money. If you take it away, I don't want to live. And they go into depression and they cannot do anything after that. Why? They lost money. But it gets worse. People that have $100 million, that they lose $3 or $4 million in a bad deal, go into depression. And they come to me, Rabbi, I'm so upset, I'm broken. Why? My brother stole from me in a deal $4 million. Then when you begin to, you think maybe it's everything he had, poor guy. So you cry with him together. Then he said, now I have to sell my building in Manhattan because of that, or I have to take, oh, you have a building in Manhattan? Where? Fifth Avenue and 45th Street. Oh, yeah? Right away, it's $500 million. Oh, so Baruch Hashem, okay, Baruch Hashem, you have what to eat. But the $4 million, he doesn't look at the 500 years. He looks at the four he lost. But he forgot that Hashem gave him 500 and he took from him four and he killed himself. All day sits home crying, drinking, relaxing, killing himself. Why? Because people, this is the way they are. They don't look at what they have. They look at what they could have had. Or what they lost. Or what somebody took from me. This is the nature of the people. But Hashem come and say, don't be a fool. Everything you have, I gave you. When I bring you to Israel, I gave you houses to live that you did not build. It's a verse in the Torah. Wells full of water that you did not dig. Houses full of wealth that you did not fill. You should eat and be full and don't ever forget your God that gave you all this greatness. Be very careful. Yishamer lecha. Pen tishkach et Hashem Elokecha. That you will never forget me. That everything you have, I gave you. How many here can raise their hand and they say, every minute of my life, whatever I have, I know it's from him. He comes to the house tonight. Oh, Moshe, you're in a very good mood. It was a great day in business. I did it. I put the deal together. I made, in 10 minutes, $500,000. I'm so genius. I'm such a guy. Well, you know how I convinced this guy? He wanted to leave the room. I convinced him to come back. Without me, the deal will go crazy. We would lose all the deal. You fool. You making a deal. Everything you have, Hashem wants you to have. If you don't, Hashem doesn't want, you can kill yourself. How many people killed themselves in business 30, 40 years and in the end they got nothing? And some people that hardly speak two words in English came to this country and in less than 5 years became tycoons. Not knowing anything. Until today they don't speak two sentences in English. I one time went to a Syrian guy. This was 1991. How many years ago? 25 years ago. I used to work for a bank. They told me, go to this neighborhood. There's a guy who has a very big sneaker store and jeans and leather jacket. I came to a store. You see how big this shul? Multiplied by the store by four. That's how big it was. Thousands of jeans, very expensive. Lots of leather jacket, tons of sneakers, all kinds of things. Very, very busy area. Very busy. Millions of people walk there on the street. Non-stop customer, many registers. This guy was sitting on like a stage where the register are, sitting like this. I'm filling up a contract with him that he's gonna join my bank. Then I see he take a little box with ink. He goes with his finger and he goes like this. I said, what's this? You have to sign. So why? I signed. That's my signature. I said, no, but he has to go through all the copies. I have to give you one copy for me, one copy for the bank. Take it or leave it. Got angry. I said, no, what's the problem? Make something. So I don't know how to sign in English. Businessman, tycoon. Even to write his name in English, he doesn't know. But Hashem gave him 12 sneaker stores. Why? Well, Hashem wants you to succeed. You know, many times in life, people are really smart, but they don't make money. Many times in life, they're very foolish. They make all the mistakes, and thanks to that, they made money. One expert in the stock market told me in 1987, do you know who made money in the stock market before the crash? Only the foolish people. The people that don't know anything about the stock market made millions. The people that were expert in the stock market, like me and all my expert friends, we did not make a penny. I said to him, how come? He said, because a year or two before the market crashed, all the foolish people saw that whatever they buy goes up. Every day, you buy this, go up. You buy this, go up. You buy Sony, go up. You buy Nike, go up. Everything goes up, 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 nonstop. We, the expert, knew that it's all fake. It's balloon. It's, every day will explode. One day you wake up and the market will crash. So we were afraid to buy. Maybe today will happen. Maybe tomorrow. So we keep waiting and waiting and wait. And they bought and bought and made and made. And they, every day, 2%, 3% on your money. Every day. Some of them were smart. They had so much money that they make. They bought real estate. Back then, real estate building in Manhattan was $1 million. Today, it's $500 million. 1987, $1 million building in Second Avenue. So they bought buildings. They didn't have what to do with the money. They had a lot of money. So they said, let's buy a little real estate. Some of them were foolish. Why should I buy real estate? How much I'm going to make? I'm putting all the money back in the stock market. I make 2-3% every day. Then came the crash. In a day or two, everything almost went to zero. He says, so you see, the smart people were not making money. Those who have no idea what they do made millions. This is the way the world is. It has nothing to do with your talent. How many people are great doctors and they work for somebody for $100,000 a year and they never become rich? And then the other doctor opened himself an office and another one and bought other doctors, became a billionaire. Why? That's what Hashem wants. And here he didn't want. It doesn't mean you're a better doctor than him. Not always. Sometimes yes, sometimes not. Let's go now in what the Torah has to say. The Torah says like this, Kol Orchot Hashem, all the ways of God, Chesed ve'emet. Chesed mean kindness, Emet mean true. Now you explain to me, please, how do you explain this contradiction in this verse? If it's kindness, it's not true. If it's true, it's not kindness. When you go to the judge in Manhattan in a court, if he has to judge you by the truth, can he mix kindness, chesed, mercy? He cannot mix mercy, it's not the truth. This is what the law is. I have to give you what the truth requires. If I have mercy on you and I'm kind to you, I'm going against the truth. But it says over here, the ways of God is the truth and at the same time kindness, chesed. How can it be? The Torah explained, when a person loses something, when a person got punished about something, If he's a person who followed the truth of God, he said, Hashem, I deserve it. You gave me even less than what I deserve. Thank you very much. It's 100%. If he makes money, a lot of money, he says, Hashem, I know you gave me what I don't deserve. Chesed, you gave me a free gift. I appreciate it. But the wicked people is the other way around. When they lose, I don't deserve it. Why are you like this? Why are you so tough? And when they make a lot of money, they say, why only like this, like this? Give me more. Depend on the person. Two people. One person, Lo Aleinu, had an accident. What happened? He broke his legs. The ambulance took him to the hospital. Now he has cast. He has to walk like this. So they ask him, what do you think about the accident? He said, what does God want from me? It's so tough. Come on. Why do you have to give me such a punishment? His friends say the opposite. His friends say, how great is God? I should have died and look what happened. I only broke my legs. It all depends how you look at things in life. So now we're going to learn about the concept of emunah, how it works. First of all, you have to know one thing. How do we know that what we say is true? Only one answer. Because it's written in a book of God. If it did not, it was not written in a book of God, everybody can make up whatever they want. But who says it's true? Who's to say it's true? So the Torah says like this. It says like this. Karov Hashem lechol korav. Hashem is close to all the people that call him. Lechol asher ikra'u be'emet. Not to everyone who comes to shul to pray. No, no. To those who come to scream and to call God from their heart for real, not fake. Some people come to the synagogue to meet friends on Shabbat, to listen to the Chazan. He has beautiful voice. He sings beautiful Persian style. Rabbi, since Iran, I didn't hear such great voice. Look how the voice comes inside from his mouth, like the days of Iraj in Iran. My father used to tell me, now I have it right here in the community. How can I not come to shul? 2 minutes later, he gets in a car and he drives on Shabbat. He didn't come for Hashem. He came for the show. Or maybe bar mitzvah of his brother. No, fine. But where is the faith? No faith. Does he trust Hashem? Absolutely not. Now, this is the rule. Hashem made a rule in the world. If you trust me 90%, I'm going to do for you 90% and you're going to do 10%. If you trust me 50%, I'm going to do for you 50% and you're going to do 50% on your own. The less you trust me, the harder you're going to have to work. Sometimes people ask me, Rabbi, I'm not married. I tried here, I tried there, I call Shatchaniot, I go to rabbis, I go to Shabbatonim. How many years I'm going to have this nonsense already? I'm tired of this. What? What am I? I'm a terrorist. I'm a criminal. Why God doesn't give me a kosher wife? I'm Shomer Shabbat. I give tzedakah. I respect Torah. I respect rabbis. I do a lot of good things. Why Hashem doesn't give me? Right? Same thing. Sometimes a person asks even worse questions than this. He's better than me that he got and I didn't get. The reason people talk like this is because they don't understand how the world works. Everyone who comes here to the world, it's not the first time you're here. Hashem took your soul, you were here in a previous body, and now he put it in a new body, and you continue from your previous life. Now, what happened if Hashem would show you that in your previous life you were married 3 times, and each one of the time you abuse your spouse? You had a wife, you destroyed her physically, mentally, fighting with her from morning to night, destroying her life until she had a nervous breakdown. You were torturing your kids. They all went to a horrible direction in life. One time, it wasn't enough. You got remarried, you did it to the second wife. Then you did it to the third wife, and then you died. And you came to Hashem, and Hashem said, you keep Shabbat, very good. You put tefillin, very good. You went to the shul every day, very good. You gave a lot of donations, very good. You learned Torah 1 hour a day, also good. Could be better, but also good. And it goes to all the positive, and then start the negative. Let's see what your problems now. Wife number one. Million times punishment. Million times hitting her. million times cursing her, million times upsetting her and this and not appreciating her and throw the food and hitting the kids and fighting with her parents and who knows what. And now let's go to wife number 2. And now let's go to wife number 3. After all of that, I'm very sorry to disappoint you. You have to go to X amount of years to clean your soul from all the sins. Do you want to do it in Gehenom or you want to come back to this world to clean it over here? Who's going to say to go to Gehenom? Nobody wants to go there. So right away everybody said, no, no, take me over here. Send me back here. But it's going to be very hard. You're going to go out and out and out and you're not going to be able to get married for many years. Because you're not, you didn't appreciate your husband or your wife in previous life. Okay, okay, anything, just not to go there. And Hashem sent the person back to this world. And he's frustrated for 20, 30 years of his life. And he's upset and he eats his heart. And he's going crazy every day. And because of that, he doesn't want to be religious anymore. And in the end, he loses from both sides. Because his religion goes down. And in the end, he left nothing. No wife, no children, and no religion. And now he comes back to Hashem, and Hashem said to him, no, now what? You became worse than before. I send you to this world to fix. And what happened? You made it worse. This is all a matter of faith and knowledge. If we understand that this is how it works, this is how it works. I want to tell you, in my Facebook page about 6 months ago, I put a video. A video. What video I put? Autistic kid. Autistic, brain damage, was born together with a twin sister in Israel. The boy and a girl, not identical, boy and a girl. The girl, perfectly normal, no problem. The boy, brain damage. They grew up, the family, totally not religious, totally. After years, years, they're not, none of them religious. They heard that there is a way to talk to autistic kids with computer. You bring a board and they type answers. They cannot talk. They cannot function. Some of them can talk, but some of them cannot talk. They brought the keyboard and they film it on a video. And they ask him, why are you like this? Can you tell us anything about your situation? And he said, because God sent me to the world like this. So they ask him, it's all on a video. When you see it, you will know 1,000,000% and I'm not telling you a word that is not true. Everything 100% like the video show. And there's a rabbi there standing there with a camera and they ask him question. So they ask him, why God sent you like this to the world? And he answered, because I did thing in my previous life that I was not supposed to do. He didn't want to say yet what. So they ask him again, what did you do that you are not supposed to do? And he answered, I spoke bad about Jews. I spoke lying, Lashon Hara, bad. And then he said, because I spoke so bad about people, I made Hashem very upset. As because of that, he sent me back to the world the way I am right now. I cannot talk and I cannot function. And the sister became religious, and the parents became Shomer Shabbat, and they invited her to a big event with hundreds of people in the audience. And she was standing on a page, and they showed that video. And she now, Baruch Hashem, became Shomer Shabbat. She started to dress modest. And she said, my brother made my entire family religious. If he would not talk to us, how else we would know that we are here in a test, and God sent us the soul back in a new body, and we continue for our previous life, how would we know that? Baruch Hashem, if you learn Torah, you know it from the Torah. You don't need the kid to tell you that. You learn it from the Torah. But people that don't learn Torah, that's the only way they can learn. They see people who died and came back to life, and they tell them what happened to the soul. There are people in the world that remember their previous life. They remember without hypnosis. People that don't remember the previous life, you hypnotize them and they begin to speak in languages from before that they don't know today. Imagine somebody hypnotize you and you speak French. Then they show you your video and you don't know what you're saying. I don't understand what I'm saying. I don't speak French now. This is who you used to be 50 years ago in Paris, before you came to the world, when your soul was in a different body. How are you not going to get the shock of your life? When you look at yourself, you used to be a woman, a woman used to be a man, a regular Jew used to be Kohen, a Kohen used to be regular Israel, Levi was Kohen, Kohen now became Levi. Jews stay Jews, Goyim stay Goyim. Very interesting. The souls of the Jews come from one spiritual world, the Goyim come from a different spiritual world. That's why the Torah said that if you marry a non-Jewish woman, the children are not your children. Who are these children? They are, the Torah say, Abba mina goya karu ibna. If you have a kid with a non-Jewish woman, even if she's very, very good woman, very righteous, very modest, all day she prays to God. 100% a righteous Gentile. She keeps the seven law of Noah. She's mamash an angel compared to the rest of the world, what out there. And this Jew is nothing special. He's not even Shomer Shabbat. He's not eating kosher. He's stealing in a business all day. He's making a lot of people miserable. He's a horrible human being. He's not allowed to marry her. God says she's much better than you, but you still cannot marry her. If you marry her, your children will be 100% not Jewish. I'm not going to give them Jewish soul. They're going to get a non-Jewish soul. And you die without children. You put $1 million in each one of these kids. You come in front of me after 120 and I say, I'm very disappointed. You don't have kids. What do you mean I don't give you? I have 4 kids. Each one of them I pay $1 million to graduate college and I bought them homes. What do you mean I don't have kids? That my kids will give my life for me. Say, yeah. Biologically, you have kids. Spiritually, you don't have kids. Because the rule of the Torah is, when your wife is Jewish, your children are Jewish. If not, you're not Jewish. How many Jews do not know that? When you tell it to a Jew, he's going to say, oh, you're racist. What does it have to do with racism? Nobody say they're not good. Nobody say we are better than you. That's why we're not allowed to marry you. No. I'm telling you, even the worst Jew in history and the most righteous guy in history cannot get married. Nothing to do with who's good and who's not. Iyov, you heard about Iyov? Iyov was a Navi, prophet, but not Jewish. Big tzaddik. Hashem said to the Satan, go and test Iyov, he's a very big tzaddik. Iyov was the biggest tzaddik in the world and was a guy. He wasn't a Jew. And Hashem said to the Satan, you know, you want to know who's like Avraham Avinu? Go to Iyov. How can it be? Iyov wasn't Jewish. Doesn't matter. There's no discrimination. If a goy is tzaddik, he's a tzaddik. The Gemara say, if a goy sits and learns Torah and is holy, he's like a Kohen Gadol in Bet HaMikdash. Did you know that the Gemara say this or no? How many Jews know this? The Jews, some of them are primitive, meaning they don't learn. So whatever they hear, they believe. Oh, we are better because we're Jewish. It's not true. You're only better if you tzaddik, if you keep Shabbat, if you eat kosher, if you learn Torah, if you give tzedakah, if you help other Jews to become religious. That's when you become tzaddik. If you don't do it, you're not tzaddik, Habibi. You can dream that you're tzaddik, but you're not a tzaddik. So Hashem said to the Jews, the more you count on me, the more I'm going to do for you. So people ask me, Rabbi, I want to go, I'm learning in yeshiva now, I want to get married. What should I do? Should I go a lot to shatchanim and beg them to take my shidduch profile, maybe I can find me a wife? Or I should just trust Hashem and Hashem will find me my wife all the way to my door? What should I do? What do you think the answer is? Should you run and try every single party you should run? Every shatchan who comes to town you should run and meet him? Or you should just pray to Hashem with a broken heart and leave everything to him? What do you think? Which one of the two is the right way?
The second one.
Now I'm going to tell you a story that happened in Israel and I will give you the answer to this question. There was one American boy, he went to yeshiva in the city of Tzfat. You know where is Tzfat? All the way in the north. All the way, in the mountain. Over there, it's like the end of the world. It's very far from the rest of Israel. Okay. Now he's in yeshiva in Tzfat for 3 years. He's learning Torah in yeshiva. After three years, he got tired of going to yeshiva every day. He wants to learn on his own. So his father helped him out a little bit with the rent. He rented himself a little room. In Tzfat is very, very cheap. At least back then, maybe it was $100 a month, a room to rent. He rented himself a room. And he said to one of the guys from the yeshiva, every week I'm going to give you some money. You go to the grocery and bring me some cheese, bread, some food, milk, whatever I need. Once or twice a week, you bring me the food. And that's it. I don't want to see anyone. I don't want to talk to anyone. I want to close myself over here. I'm going to sit and learn Torah. So the guy asked him, I don't mind. This grocery is right here. What big deal? 10 minutes a week I'll give you. No problem. But how are you going to get married? There's mitzvah, first mitzvah in the Torah to get married and have children. Every Jewish man has an obligation to have at least one boy and one girl. Minimum. If you have 10 girls, you did not fulfill the mitzvah. If you have 10 boys, you did not fulfill the mitzvah. You must have at least one boy and one girl, and everything else is extra. But must have one boy and one girl, and not only one boy and one girl, this has to be one boy and one girl that able to have children. So if you only have one boy and one girl, and chas v'shalom, in 20 years after they're born, you find out that the girl cannot have kids, chas v'shalom. You did not fulfill the mitzvah. You understand? You have to have a boy and a girl that able to continue your seed, your descendants. Now, so the guy said to him, how are you going to get married? He said, I'm going to count on Hashem. I trust Hashem. When the time comes for me, he's going to send me the girl here to this room. So the guy said to him, are you dreaming? Nobody will know you in this room. Who's going to knock on your door? How will somebody come and knock on your door besides me? He said, I'm going to pray to Hashem and I count on Hashem to send me my shidduch. That's it. I don't want to count on people. What does it say in Tehillim? David HaMelech wrote 3,000 years ago. Al tivtechu bindivim beben adam she'en lo tshua. Tetze rucho yashuv la'admato. Don't dare to count on people. Ever. Not your rich uncle. Not the prime minister. Not the commando soldiers. Not the police. Nobody. Don't get used to count on people. Only count on me. I run the people. When I want them to save you, they'll save you. If I don't want, they're not going to be able to help you. Same thing doctor, same thing police, same thing the army, same thing everything. Don't count on people. This person that right now is on the top of the world, maybe 5 minutes later will be gone. Tetze rucho, his soul comes out and he goes right into the ground. Who promised you he's going to be here tomorrow? Don't count on people. It's repeating Tehillim a few times. This guy went into the room and he's there 1 year, 2 years, almost 3 years. Sitting in a room learning all day, Gemara, Gemara finished, the Gemara, everything. One day, somebody knocked on his door. He opened the door, you see, wow. What a nice girl. Modest, classy, pretty, religious, shy. I'm sorry. Mishpachat Ochayon. He said, no, Ochayon is not here. Over there, the other side of the hallway. He lives here. The other side is another family. Small building. But can I tell you something? He said to her. Can I tell you something? Yes, she said. I'm in this room, you see, with my books for 3 years. There's a guy who brings me grocery. I sit and I learn Torah. I reach Baruch Hashem a very high spiritual level with Hashem. 3 years I'm praying with tears and broken heart. Really, literally, I'm crying 3 times a day to Hashem to send me my Basher, my real kosher wife. And I said that the time that it will happen, Hashem, make her knock on my door. 3 years nobody knocked on my door. You're the first person who knocked on my door. Besides the guy that break the grocery, you're the only one who knocked on my door. I just wanted you to hear this story.
Thank you.
That's it. The next day, a shatran showed up. She said to her father, it's very tzaddik, I like him, you know. The shatran came, I came to close a deal. You know, the girl said that she likes exactly somebody like you, she's looking serious in the Torah. Baruch Hashem. Based on that, you should count on Hashem, or you should run and kill yourself to try and try and make phone calls and begging people, set me up with this girl, set me up with this girl. What should you do? What do you think?
Up and up.
Depends on how much I'm
up and up.
The answer, Rabotai, the answer, Rabotai, is some people can do like this, some people can do like this. It depends who you are. If you live in illusion that you trust Hashem, many people think, I'm a great believer, I'll die for Hashem. As soon as an Arab terrorist in a neighborhood, terrorism, terrorism, he hides under the bed for 3 weeks. Why? He's gonna die for Hashem, but he's under the ground. Why? From fear. Some people live in illusion that they have very strong emunah. How do you know if a person trusts Hashem or not? Make $100 or that you owe him, you don't pay him on time, see how he behaves. $100. Landlord. Hello, where is the rent? It's the 7th. Give me 2 more weeks. I have some financial difficulties. Some would say, okay, I understand. I'll call you back in 2 weeks. Most of the people get angry. I'm very sorry. There's any problem? You lost your job? Yeah, I lost my job. I don't know how I'm going to pay you in the next few months. Right away, he calls the lawyer or he calls Vinny from the mafia. Vinny, I have a job for you. Right? This guy is late on the rent 2 days. Now at night, he's in a balcony in his house. What happened, Moshe? I'm very atzbani ayom. Don't get me angry now, you. What happened? One of the tenants stopped paying the rent. Yeah, you should see his beard like this, sweeping the floor. Nice sombrero. Mamash look like a rabbi. Now, $700 rent. Big deal. Millions, billions of dollars. It's worry. Wow, I lost here, I lost there. You have emunah in Hashem? You only have emunah in kochi v'otzem yadi. If you don't have it, you trust Hashem? How many people think, I'm good already. What do I need Hashem? I'm good. Don't give me, don't take from me. Good enough for me. Who did that deal with Hashem? Bar Kochva. You heard about Bar Kochva? As soon as he finished to say it, a snake beat him and he died. He said to Hashem, I don't need your help, but don't do anything against me, don't do anything for me. I manage. The hero. What was his end? So this is the rule, Rabotai. The more you know, how do you know if you trust Hashem? A lot of people dreaming depend on how much fear you have. I'll give you an example. If you don't have a job now, they fired you. You have mortgage coming, another mortgage on your vacation home, 3 leases, health insurance, yeshivot for the kids. Before the month began, minimum $20,000, right away expenses are coming. And you don't have any income. You begin to worry. 3-4 months, I'm going to lose my saving. I don't have cash flow. What am I going to do? The kids, the yeshivot, wow, he's going crazy, he's running. If a person is like this, that shows that he doesn't have any emunah in Hashem. That's why Hashem won't help him so much, because he doesn't trust him. He will have to run from one interview to another, begging people, I'm begging you, find me a job in your company, and this, and coming to the rabbi, rabbi, maybe you announce somebody looking for a job, I'm a good accountant. All day on the newspaper, he's going crazy. He stopped learning, he doesn't come to yeshiva, he's smoking like crazy. He cannot be with his wife because he's so under stress. Somebody like this doesn't have even 1% faith in God. Because you don't have, you're gonna have to get it the hard way. Then you have the other kind of person. You're not nervous? Of course not. How can you not be nervous? Did Hashem ever do something bad to a person? What do I know what Hashem wants for me? Maybe I'm gonna get a much better job. One person was a gabbai in a synagogue. He was a gabbai, you know what a gabbai, collecting money. One time a new rabbi came to the synagogue. He came to the gabbai, he said, where is the book with all the money that people donate? I want to see the cash flow of the shul. So the gabbai said to him, rabbi, please don't make my life hard. I'm the gabbai here for 20 years. Everything is in my head. I don't know how to read. I don't know how to write. You tell me every member of the shul how much he owed the shul, I'll tell you right now. You tell me how much he paid the last check, I'll tell you everything. But don't drive me crazy now. The rabbi said to him, listen. The days with the old rabbis are over. I want to make this synagogue kosher, clean, organized, that everybody who comes to open the books, he can see exactly what ever happened in this synagogue. I don't like the gabbai remember all the bills in his house. It doesn't work like that. So if you can learn how to do it, fine. If not, we will fire you. We'll pay you some compensation for all the years. And go and find yourself a job. So they fire him. So they figure 20 years he worked here. Let's give him $100,000. After 20 years he served the community. They collected the money and they gave it to him. So he came to the rabbi. And he said to the rabbi, Rabbi, I don't know how to read. I don't know how to write. I don't know anything from my life. All I know is to clean the shul, to take care of the Sefer Torah, to make food for Seudah Shlishit. That's all I know. What am I going to do now? I have some money. The rabbi told him, between this town to this town, there is no motel. Go and build a motel over there with a restaurant. All the people who pass by, a little snow, a little rain, they will stay for the night by you. You're going to make a lot of money. He went and he opened the motel with the restaurant with the money that he got. All of a sudden, business is booming. He built another floor and another floor and another floor. He became a Masha hotel. So he became very rich. Every week, he comes with a stash of cash to the bank. He comes to the bank. The banker saw that he's a very, very productive customer. Right away, he said to him, how come you're not investing with us in the bank? We can get you 10% on your money. Why are you not investing? You're putting the money by you. So he said to him, okay, no problem. Here, I'll give you some money. You make me money. So when the banker took all the papers, you have to sign here, you have to fill up your name, everything. He said to him, I don't know how to write. So the banker is looking at him. He said, are you crazy? What do you mean you don't know how to write? He said to him, I don't know how to write. He said, you expect me to believe you made all these millions without knowing how to write? He said to him, listen to me. The only reason you're sitting here with me today is because I'm ignorant and I don't know how to write. If I knew how to read and write, I would still be a gabbai cleaning the bathroom in a shul. The only reason I became rich is because they kicked me out, because I'm, you know, not the brilliant guy. And thanks to that, I became who I am. You understand? Because when Hashem wants something, this is what's going to happen. Before we finish, I want to read to you a few more verses from the Torah. One of them, Karov Ismach Lev Mevakshe Hashem. When a person is searching for Hashem in his life, every day of his life, every second he thinks about Hashem, every second, Hashem. Hashem wants me to do it. He doesn't want me to do it. Will it make him happy? Will it not make him happy? If you made a mistake right away, I'm so sorry. Forgive me. I'm going to fix it. Give me some time. You have relationship with your Creator. Automatically you go to a very high level. Where does it say it? Ismach lev mevakshe Hashem. Those people who follow and search for Hashem automatically become happy. Just from searching for Hashem. If you find Him, you become 100 times more happy. Just to search for Hashem, meaning you learn Torah, you want to search for Hashem, automatically you're very happy. Dirshu Hashem, search, request for Hashem, ve'uzo, and His strength. Bakshu panav tamid. Always ask for the face of Hashem to be revealed to you. David HaMelech said to Hashem, Ma betza bedami? We say it every day in the tefillah, but we don't understand what we say. Ma betza bedami beridati el shachat? Betza mean interest. David said to Hashem, what interest you have in my blood? Meaning, what good will happen if you kill me? This was happened after the situation with Bathsheba and Uriah Hitti. and that whole story. So David HaMelech said to Hashem, Ayotcha afar ayagid amitecha, if you kill me and you put me in the ground, can I thank you and praise you when I'm in the ground, laying under the dust? Can I praise you? So why are you going to take me away from this world? At least now when I'm alive, every day I'm talking to you, I'm praising you, I'm singing to you. You're going to take me away. When I'm going to be in the sand, I won't be able to sing for you. The Maharal Midiskin, there was a very big rabbi. He had an aunt, she was in a hospital. She was connected to machines. To machines. All kinds of pipes and oxygen and blood. One time he was in a town where the hospital is and he decided to go visit his aunt. So they told her, somebody here, a big rabbi, came to visit you. And this is his name. She said, oh, that's my nephew. Let him in. She fixed herself, she sits in a bed. He comes in, the smell was horrible because she's connected to a bag. She cannot go to the bathroom. I don't have to tell you how the room smells. And plus, it's a hospital from over 100 years ago. It wasn't today five-star hospital. You understand? It was a different hospital. So he comes in and he smells horrible smell over there. And the condition over there, everything is dirty. So she say to him, Rabbi, you my nephew, I raised you. Please pray for me and give me a blessing. So he asked her, what blessing you want me to give you? She said that I should live long life. So he asked her, I don't understand. Who wants to live in your condition? What good is your life, laying here in bed for years, connected to machines? You know what she answered? She said to him, shame on you. How do you ask me such a question? Every 2 weeks, the nurse shows up and she changed my bag to a new bag. And the bad smell goes away. And I can take my Tehillim from under my pillow and praise Hashem for 2.5 hours. I finish the whole Sefer Tehillim twice a month. And you asking me why I want long life? Imagine if somebody would come to you, Chas v'Shalom, God forbid, a million times, God forbid, and say, you want to leave? Hospital, machine, twice a month, you have to stop, read Sefer Tehillim, and back to the machines, and this, and the tubes. What person will want to stay like this? After a week, we'll go crazy. Take me away, please, I'm begging you. She's waiting 2 weeks for the 2.5 hours that she's going to be able to read Tehillim and say thank you to Hashem for every breath you give me. And we that have Tehillim for free in every house, for free, don't read it once a year. Why didn't read Tehillim today, Sarah? Rabbi, you know how busy I am? Go to her house, see what she's busy with. She comes from the gym in the morning, half an hour Lashon Hara with Rachel. Then 45 minutes Lashon Hara with Pnina. Then she goes shopping 3 hours, all day. Her wig's flying all over. Then she comes back home. The kids come from school. Sylvia, como está? The kids, yeah. Muchachos, no problem. All day with nonsense. Then she reads news, this, that, cooking, this, what am I going to cook, this, vacation, how are we going to go, which hotel, how are we going to like it, how are we going to take it. Bottom line, 99% of our life is waste. Total waste. Anybody here can raise his hand and say, my life is not a waste. But to be honest, I'm not wasting 90% of my life to the garbage. At least you're honest. You see why Hashem loves us? With all the problems that we cause him, at least we stay honest. We don't put a show off. You understand? The idea is, some people, they put a show. Ani tzaddik. I'm the biggest tzaddik. Calm down. You're far away from being tzaddik. I wish that we're going to be able to just not get Hashem upset. Forget about being tzaddik. Keeping Shabbat the right way, eating kosher the right way, watching our mouth the right way. I want to finish by saying one thing. First of all, thank you very much for giving me again the opportunity to come here every once in a while. I'm very happy that every time I come here, the shul make a progress. Rabbi Alon just told me before he left that there is a kollel here every night. If a person eats every day, he never forgets to eat. What about feeding the soul? Mitzvah for every husband, when he comes from work, he comes home, he be a little bit with his wife and children. Come here, learn an hour or two. Feed your neshama. It will affect your life to a much, much, much better level. One more thing, I brought you free CDs over there. Baruch Hashem, we gave out now 1 million CDs in Israel. And we made thousands of new Jews Shomer Shabbat. Thousands. I just went to Rabbi Aderet Shul now from Mincha and Arvit. There was one person from Israel came. He saw me over there. He said to me, I have no idea. My entire family, all my brothers in law that hated Torah so much, hated religious so much, they all became religious from the CDs. Every one of them, one, two, three, four, their children, their nephews, the sisters, all of them from the CDs. The CDs that you have outside save souls. Not only save life, save souls, save children, save family. I made now a new film. Bezrat Hashem is going out in a few days. Family issue. Husband and wife. That's the crisis of the generation. Men don't know how to behave to women. Sometimes women don't know how to behave to men. People don't know how to raise children. Tons of problems come because of innocent, foolish mistakes that we do. Time to wake up the people to understand what marriage is. Lots of the couples that get married get divorced right away because nobody ever prepared them for the right marriage. Nobody prepared them what marriage is. Many people stay single because Hashem knows what's the point of getting you married. You'll be divorced in 3 months. I'm having mercy on you. I'm not letting you getting married because I see the way you behave. I see the selfishness. I see the anger. I see the laziness. I see that you don't have patience to any person. How are you going to have patience to a wife? How are you going to have patience to children? Rabbi, he took away my privacy. How are you going to live with another person in the same room? There's so many problems today. And these CDs, Baruch Hashem, minimizing a lot of these problems. You can participate in donating for these CDs. We give them out here in America for $1 each. 30 hours of lecture, $1 each. Only. That's a not for profit, not for business. Always been like that. It cannot be cheaper. You have my app, free. Download Divine Information 2.0. Download thousands of lectures for free. You have TorahAnytime.com. For those of you who don't have YouTube or whatever, you have kosher, internet, whatever, you can go over there. They have a special player. It doesn't go through YouTube. All my lectures. You have Divine Information, my website. Baruch Hashem, I started, I was the first one who was on TorahAnytime.com. Two of my Talmidim, Reuven and Shimon, we said, oh, you know what, people don't come to the lecture, let's go to the people. We got a camera, I started to film, that was, I don't know, 14 years ago, something like that. Today you have 300-400 rabbis there. Everyone that speaks today, all their lectures goes online, all over the world, 5 million hours of Torah here. But we have to keep spreading Torah to every secular Jew. Most of the secular Jews are not Shomer Shabbat, not because they're bad people, because they have no idea what it means not to keep Shabbat. As soon as they listen to my lecture about Shabbat, they get the shock of their life. You have to read the thousands of emails I get. You won't believe it. One day I'm going to publish a series of books on people that as soon as they heard that lecture, it changed their life. We made it in Hebrew. 40 minutes film about Shabbat. 904,000 views in a small country like Israel with 5 million Jews. 900,000 views, minimum 6,000 emails of new Shomrei Shabbat I got. Wow. Just from this film alone. One Jew donated $7,000. $7,000, he got 6,000 new Shomrei Shabbat. You understand what's going on here today? Hashem made the world so easy to save souls. Take advantage or not. Order CDs online. I always need more people. Order and give them to everyone you know that are not religious. the purpose of life, Torah and science, life after death, Shabbat, marriage, raising children, drugs and depression issues. This is changing life of thousands of people. Goyim, goyim, you should see goyim. Goyim from Pakistan, from India, from Arab countries. They send emails, those lectures changed my whole life. My whole life. You understand? I have an assistant, he's a goy from India, 20 years old, 21 years old now. His father bowed down to a cow in a house. He brings the cow in. He bows down to a cow with his brother together. They go to the pharmacy, they buy the urine of the cow and drinking for breakfast. And this guy is already in the level of a rabbi. He's waiting to save money for ticket to finish his university over there in India, to come here to America, to convert and go to yeshiva. 20, everything you ever heard about that I ever said in lecture, he knows by heart. Everything. He learns all day Torah, all day is connected to lectures. You're over there in India. He said to me, you don't understand what happened in my street. I walk in the street, this guy bowed to the idol, this one to the cow, this guy to the mouse. He lives in such idol worshippers area and became religious. Shomer Shabbat! And Jews are brothers and sisters. Rabbi, it's too difficult to keep Shabbat. What's difficult? To eat good, to rest, to walk a little bit, few minutes to the synagogue and listen to some words of Torah? What's difficult? It's the easiest it's ever been. Everything is timers. Light on, the oven is on. Some people have Goya in the house, it makes it even easier. She does everything, they know. Tak, tak, tak. You don't even feel Shabbat. It's threatening the people, but it comes out of ignorance. Any questions before we finish?
Yes. Hopefully you can answer this in a few minutes. Some people have the misconception that since we're talking about Emunah and Bitachon, that you can have one, you can have, for example, you can have Bitachon, but not Emunah. Is that possible? And if so, how would one...
You know what it says? It says in Hebrew, Ha Beha Talia, you cannot have one without the other.
Right.
You cannot have a kid without a father and a mother.
Right.
Even though they're trying to change the law in America. You know, you need a father and mother to have a kid. You understand? If you have confidence, you have emunah. If you have emunah, you have confidence. One without the other, you don't have. But you have to know one thing. You can elevate your emunah. It's a hard work. It's massive work. You work harder and harder. The more you relax, the more you count on Hashem. The less you fear the future, whether it's money or health or any other issues, you're gonna see how everything falls into place. I wanna finish with a story that was worth it for you to come, just for that. 1 minute story. We had a guy in our yeshiva in Muncie, Lior Edri, his name. Here, it's recorded, I'm telling you names. Lior Edri. Now he's already a few years in Israel. Israeli Baal Tshuva. Back then he was maybe 24. He's in yeshiva. He doesn't have $1 to his name. Nothing. From time to time, somebody gives him a little money. He saved $100. He walked in a street in Muncie. All he has is $100. He cannot be more poor than that. He walks in the street. One miserable person came to him. Excuse me. Maybe you can help me out. I'm marrying my daughter. I don't have money for the wedding. He took the $100 and gave it to him. He told me, I walk 1 minute, there's a gas station in Main Street in Monsty. I look at the floor, I see $100 bill. I found $100 bill. I said, wow, what a sipur hashgacha, but that's not the story. Then his parents came from Israel to visit him in Monsty. They found a place to stay in one of the families. They stayed in Monsty for 2 weeks. Now they, tomorrow morning, the flight is early in the morning. They have to go with 4 big suitcases. Back then you could take 2 suitcases. Today they made one. Back then, so they want to fly now. They have 4 suitcases, the father and the mother. They bought half of New York. And they say to him the night, his father say, Leo, did you arrange a car to take us from Muncie to JFK? And this guy was such a high level of emunah. He said to his father, Abba, Hashem runs the world. Why you always worry what's going to be, what's going to be? Hashem knows we need a car. Leave it for him. The father said to the mother, Oy, Hashem irachem, what happened to our son? He needs a psychiatrist. In 5 hours is the flight. He's telling me Hashem's gonna help. We're going to sleep now. He said, Leo, we don't need a small car. We need a van. 4 suitcases. You, me, and mommy, plus 4 suitcases. We need a van. He say again, Hashem. He say Hashem will worry. Hashem will take care of it. And Leo, when he told the story, he said, I have no idea where I'm going to get a car. What do I have? I'm Bachur Yeshiva. Where do I get a car from? I go to sleep. I say to Hashem, Hashem, you know, in a few hours, I need a car to take my parents. They have a flight. I'm counting on you. I'm not worried. He went to sleep. He got up 5 in the morning. What the tzaddik does at 5 in the morning? Goes to the mikveh. In the yeshiva, there's mikveh in the basement. He goes down to the mikveh. He's thinking now, in half an hour, my father and mother will wake up and we have to get on the road, and I don't have any idea when I'm going to get a car. As he's inside the mikveh, another Israeli Yemenite guy comes, who just made Aliyah a month ago in Purim. This guy, he was a car dealer, Gilad Busi, his name. Also, Avrech in yeshiva, and he sells some cars on the side to make a living. He comes to the mikveh, 5 in the morning. How are you, Maze? Tell me, Gilad, you have any idea where I can get a car for my parents to take them now to the airport? He said, oh, I just bought a car yesterday from the auction with the dealer plate. You have it right there outside. Here's the key, you can use it. He said, I come out, minivan. This is how he lives, this person. Doesn't worry about anything. Hashem does everything for him. He's not even worried about it. You know, there are people in Yerushalayim, whatever money they make, they don't count. They put it in the box. And they said to the wife, just take whatever you need. Don't count ever. If you count, then Hashem will need to make us a clear miracle. Leave it like that, and we count on Hashem. Whatever we need, we take from you. There are people that reach such high level of emunah, it's scary. Scary how when you look at them, you're jealous. You say, I would give my life to be in his level. Not one fear. I have to marry 10 children. It's not my problem. Yeah, I'm their father. Hashem is their father. Hashem is going to take care of everything. All of a sudden, he called South Africa, a wealthy guy. He saw your daughter, Shidduch profile. Oh, one is gone. The next one, the third one, the fourth one. 1, 2, 3, 3 years, everyone is married. Baruch Hashem, and he sits and learns Torah. And business people sometimes cannot marry their children. They finish all their money on the first wedding. What do you want? 7 floors of food, you know. This is the idea, Rabotai. The Torah, whatever I say to you, it's not me. I'm not making it up. Hashem saying the Torah, if you trust me, I'm testing you, I'm strict with you to see what's in your heart. Do you trust me or not? Why do I test you? That I will reward you in your end. If you trust me all your life, when you leave this world, I'm going to reward you for eternity. What are you worried about? Don't worry. There's nothing to worry about. All we have to do is to become stronger in faith and confidence in Hashem. Hashem, it's all from you. You deserve the credit. Thank you for every second I'm healthy. Thank you for able to talk and to walk. Thank you that I have children. Thank you that I have a place to sleep. Thank you, I have a car to drive. Thank you, I have money for the bus. Thank you, I'm able to look at colors. Why are you taking everything for granted? If you're not the richest guy in the world, you're upset? Big deal. Life has a lot more to offer. Thank you very much. Have Chag Shavuot Sameach. Kol Tov.